The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
And we're talking about new beginnings, and I want you to have a new beginning. No matter where you are in your life right now, I believe we can all have a new beginning. New beginnings starting now for each and every one of us. It's not just a new start, it's a new way of looking at things. It's a new way of new expectation of what God is going to do. Whether you've made a commitment to Christ or not, it's drawing closer to the Lord and fulfilling His will and His desire for your life. I believe He has great and mighty things in store for His people. And He wants us to walk according to His will and His word. And we can accomplish things in our lives that we never thought possible if we will hold on and walk in His ways. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19. As we turn there, I'm going to just ask you to please bow your head. We're going to have a word of prayer. Father, today we're asking that you guide and direct these words, that everything that is spoken will be life-changing, that it will touch individuals, that they will understand that your anointing and your power goes forth in this teaching this morning. The purpose is that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, and hearts and minds will be altered today to receive your goodness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anybody by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to save that which was lost. And evidently, Zacchaeus was lost. Zacchaeus didn't know it. He didn't understand it. But he was lost. And Jesus was going to make it perfectly clear to him how he could be saved. I've had people say to me in the past, you say I need to be saved. What do I need to be saved from? There's a misunderstanding of what Jesus did and why we need salvation. We need salvation because mankind is sinful. We need salvation because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And because of that, they handed down a sinful gene to us. And caused us, every human being that is ever born on the face of the earth is now considered a sinner, unable to stand in the presence of God. But God has an answer for that. God has a way for us to renew, to be able to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, to be able to stand face to face with God Himself. God has given us His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's look at a few things about Zacchaeus here. Zacchaeus was a very small man, it says. We don't know how tall he was, but it says small. He was so small that he couldn't see Jesus in the crowd. So he may have been very, very small. And being very small like that, he was probably a blunt of a lot of jokes. Whether you're tall or short in our society, people have a tendency to make comments about that. And let's face it, if you're extra tall or extra short, there's more things said about it. And the reality is, in our society, it's a little hard to operate and to navigate things. Most things are built, including vehicles, water fountains, bathrooms, for the average person. So, you know, you see the inconvenience. This man was inconvenienced his whole life. And he always found ways to get around it. One of the ways he found in this situation was to climb up a tree so he could find Jesus. He could see Jesus. He made a diligent effort to see Jesus. I believe in Zacchaeus' attempt to become somebody, he turned to wealth. His deep desire, something was driving him to become somebody in his society. And one of the ways you could do that in his society was become a tax collector. Now, the King James Version calls this him a publican. And it's correct. A publican was, according to New King James and many other translations, a chief tax collector. Which means that Zacchaeus was the man who had other men under him. These people reported to him. He recruited other men to go out and collect taxes. Now, here's the thing about these tax collectors. Many times they collected a lot more than they were supposed to. Yes, they were supposed to make a living from this, but many times they would collect so much that, just like Zacchaeus, they became very, very wealthy. They abused their power and mistreated people. Taxes, you know, we all have to pay taxes, right? Every one of us is paying some sort of tax. Everywhere you look, there's a tax on this and a tax on that. Taxes are a burden. Taxes can weigh you down. Taxes are difficult. I'm not in favor of a whole bunch of taxes in our society. However, well, that's where we are right now. And according to the Word of God, I'm supposed to pay them. And I do. I pay my taxes. I give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But most important, I want to make sure that I give to God what is God's. Do you want to serve the living God? You know, if you're being obedient to the civil government, you should be obedient to the kingdom of God. His kingdom. That's more important than being obedient there. But this tax situation, people were so burdened because these men were taking from them, robbing from them. They were actually thieves, is what it amounted to. They were legal thieves. We have a lot of legal thieves in our society today. We have a group of people that are running this world that are thieves, and they're taking people's money. They're lying and they're deceiving and they're distorting things. And people are being beat down because of it. Jesus is going to come back. He's promised. He's going to come back and he's going to make everything right. Amen. All these kingdoms and these governments that are set up are going to be under his rule. And everything is going to be done according to his way. And praise God. Guess what? If you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, you get to reign and rule with him. Glory. Isn't that exciting? To know that we have that in our future, to look forward to that. So, Zacchaeus became a publican, and Zacchaeus was taking advantage of people. And we see this in this text. Now, the place where all this happens is very important because it's Jericho. And during this period of time, Jericho was a major custom site for goods that was coming in from the east. So not only were they in a place where they were taking, being able to gain great wealth, they were in a prime location where lots of goods and lots of money was flowing. So when you see this text and it talks about Zacchaeus being wealthy, Zacchaeus was in a place where he became so wealthy that it was beyond his own imagination. He had goods flowing out all over the place, all around him, and he was able to tax all those things. Zacchaeus had found the right career to accomplish the things that he wanted to accomplish in his life. And yet something must have been missing. Something had to be missing in his life, because look at verse 3. Let's see what it says here. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. He wanted to see Jesus. Now the word here that is used, the Greek word, doesn't just mean see with his eyes. It can mean that. But it also means more than that. It means to perceive with the mind, to know, to become acquainted with by experience. Zacchaeus wanted to become acquainted with Jesus. He didn't just want to see him. He wanted to know more about him. There was something about this man that he needed to know about. There was something about this man that intrigued him. There was something about this man that drew him. He had heard great things about Jesus. And he wanted not only to see him, but he wanted to experience Jesus. And that's the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning, is get acquainted with Jesus. Zacchaeus not only wanted to see him, but he wanted to get acquainted with Jesus. He wanted to know more about him. In John 6:48, we find out that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Now, listen, I hear people talk about Jesus in the same sentence with Buddha and Muhammad and other religious leaders, Tao, and all kinds of religious movements. And they lump them all together and say they're all good people and they're all way to heaven. I want you all to understand what the Bible teaches. Do not allow somebody else to tell you what you should believe. Go to the Bible. Do some research. Find out what the Bible said. I want you to know what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." In John 6:48. In John 8:12, he said, "I'm the light of the world." In John 8:58, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." That was a direct reference of God speaking to Moses when he sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel. God said, Moses said, who do I say sent me? God said, "I am that I am. I am the one." Jesus was referencing that. Jesus said, "I am he. I'm the one that created everything. I came to earth for you and for all of mankind." Jesus said, "I'm the door." He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." You see, this is so important for us to catch hold of. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. And I tell you this, and I want you to understand it, because it's so important for your life. To know that Jesus said he was the only way to heaven. No one else and no other way. There is no one else. You can't get there through any other religious belief, through any formalism, through any doctrines. You must know Jesus as your personal Savior and love him and serve him. Josh McDowell was a college student in 1964, and he was an agnostic. He didn't believe in, or he basically said, "You have to prove God to me." And a group of college students said, they challenged him to go do some research and find out about God for himself. So he went to the Bible, he went to some historical records, and he started studying. And what Josh McDowell found out was that everything that Jesus said about himself and that others said about what the Bible said about Jesus, that Jesus must be the Son of God as he said he would be. He was. He must be the Savior of the world. Otherwise, he would be a complete lunatic because of the things that I just shared with you he said for him, about himself. You see, Jesus couldn't have said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me," and still promote other ways to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Josh McDowell realized that. He came to acceptance of Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And today, Josh McDowell is probably one of the leading apologists of the faith. He travels the world sharing Jesus and explaining how Jesus can only be the only way to heaven. Verse 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to pass to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. I love this. Zacchaeus was seeking. Zacchaeus wanted more of Jesus. He wanted an experience with Jesus. And Jesus recognized that and he said, come on down. I'm going to go to your house today. I'm going to spend time with you, Zacchaeus. Now listen, you got to understand, this man was an outcast in his society. Anytime a Jew became an agent of the government, the Roman government, Jewish people hated him. So everyone around him rejected him, probably including his family. He was an outcast. And yet Jesus, the great rabbi, Jewish rabbi, stood before him, looked up at him, and said, come on down, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house today. Zacchaeus must have been excited. It must have been an incredible time in his life. Think about the fact that Jesus wants to come and dwell in your house. He wants to live. When you make Jesus your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. That is God in the flesh. Jesus sent that Spirit into your flesh to live in you, to lead you, to direct you, to help you. The power of the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus walking with us, we have the Spirit of God walking with us. The power of God inside of us. Zacchaeus had a face-to-face encounter. So the second thing I want to talk about this morning is receive him with joy. Because I believe that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. He received Jesus with joy. This is the only way you can be saved. Listen. You know, I could stand up here and I could tell you some things that are going on in this world and I could scare you. I don't want to scare you into the kingdom of God. What good would that do? I could tell you about hell and the fire that's coming and how you're going to suffer if you don't receive Jesus as your personal Savior. That's no way to come into the kingdom. You come into the kingdom with great joy because you know the Savior has come on your behalf. Because the Savior is here. Because the Savior died on the cross and shed his blood for you. I don't want you to come into the kingdom for any reason except that you recognize who Jesus is and you have great joy in your heart to receive him. This is a free gift we're talking about. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift, it's a free gift. All you gotta do is take it. God's giving it to you. It's yours. He's given it to everyone. All we have to do is take it. Many people choose not to take it. Many people will have to answer for that. But today we're offering you a free gift. The gift of God. The love of God wrapped in a package called his son, Jesus, that died and lay on the cross and died on the cross and was buried and on the third day came back to life. Hallelujah. One evening in 1978, I went to Little Country Church, South Bethel, not too far from here. Went in that church, sat through a Bible study, and when it was over, I went to the altar and turned my life over to Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't know. I thought I had to go to church to be saved. But the reality is you can be saved any place, at any time. All it takes is to receive Christ, what Christ did for you. When I left that place that day, that night, I was a new creature in Christ. Old things had passed away, and all things had become new in my life. I was changed. Now, God's been working on me. He's still working on me. There's a process, but I was not the same person when I left that church. A radical change took place inside of me. And I received it with great joy. And that's what we're sharing with you this morning. We want you to receive. Received Christ in the past, but you're not living for Him. He wants that. He wants you to receive Him. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants to be your companion every day, every moment. He wants to lead you and direct you. He wants to speak to you in that still, small voice. Last thing, I'm going to wrap it up. Verse 7 through 10. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Wow, that's right. Jesus come. He came to this earth for sinners, for all of us. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Salvation is free. It's offered to you. All you have to do is take it. But I don't want to leave you with that only. I want you to understand something about salvation. That when you truly receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're to become a disciple of Christ. And discipleship costs. It'll cost you everything. It'll cost you the things that you want to hold on to. If it's money, like in Zacchaeus' case, it could cost you. Because you can't give it up. That was his situation. He had worshiped the money, and now Christ had come into his life. The most important thing to him was serving Jesus Christ. And he said, "I'm going to give half my goods to the poor and give back to anybody that I've defrauded." Four times. Who knows whether he had anything left when it was all over with? We don't know. But he made that commitment. I can tell you there was another young man that encountered Jesus that didn't do that. We refer to him as the rich young ruler in Mark 10, 17 through 21. You don't have to turn there. But in that situation, the man came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to receive the kingdom?" And Jesus said, "Follow all the commandments." You know, he had been better off if he had just shut up right there and walked away. But he didn't. He said, "I've done that. Now tell me more." Jesus said, "All right, go sell. Sell everything you have. Take all your money and give it to the poor. And then come follow me." That's the cost of discipleship. It's not just money. I'm talking about the things in your life that you hold on to so dearly, that you're unwilling to get rid of. That's the cost of discipleship. Giving up yourself and your self-fulfillment, your selfish desires, your selfish ambition, giving it up to serve the living God. It can be costly. Each of these men had a face-to-face encounter with God. The rich young ruler went away very sad that day. But Zacchaeus, according to Scripture, accepted Jesus with joy. It was joyful to him. He was excited about serving the living God. It didn't matter what it cost. And I got to tell you, you've got to come to that place in your life. If you want a new beginning in your life, you have to come to the place where you will say, "I do not care what it costs me. I am willing to do whatever God wants for me. I am willing to give up whatever it is, to serve him. Stand with me. You may be in here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you didn't even know that you had to, or you needed to. But the reality is, according to the Word, everyone's a sinner. We need to be saved by the grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And today you have that opportunity. You may be here and you were saved some time ago and you just kind of walked away from your relationship. God wants you to have a new beginning today too. He wants you to start new, fresh. Walk in His power. Become a true disciple of Jesus. One that is willing to give up whatever it is in their life to serve the living God. Bow your head with me, please. If you'd like to make Jesus your Savior this morning, you'd like to just have a new beginning in your life, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. Everybody's looking down. Everyone's praying. Just raise your hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you would like to, you've made a commitment to Christ in the past, and you just want a new beginning. You want to be a disciple that you've not been. Please raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Glory.
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Can we sing through this one time? Can we sing through this little piece one time?
Yes. Please do. If you've made a commitment to truly serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or you want to receive Him as your personal Savior this morning, I'm just going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to pray with you. It's an opportunity for you to publicly proclaim that you love the Lord and you're going to follow through. That's what Zacchaeus did. He said, he stood before the Lord and he said, I'm going to do this. That was a commitment. And he followed through with that. Hallelujah. So if you've made a commitment to renew your relationship, come up right now. If you made a commitment to receive Christ, come up. Let me pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Loving the world, hating the dark.
Lord. I just want to make sure that everybody that would like to have prayer this morning has had that opportunity. If you raised your hand, you didn't come up. God hears your prayer. It's not absolutely necessary, but it is a step of faith to come forward and acknowledge that you've made that commitment. So I'm just going to give you one last opportunity here before we wrap things up today. If you'd like to come up and make that commitment before Almighty God and this congregation, that's fine. We'd love for you to. Thank you, Lord. If not, see me after the service. Come and talk to me. I want to talk to you. Amen. All right. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask everyone, please bow your head. Father, once again, we just believe you're an awesome, mighty God. And we trust that you're touching people's hearts. Not everybody responds right away or the way we think they should. But when they make a commitment to you, that's between you and them. And you know their heart. So, Father, today we just thank you in Jesus' name that you are touching individuals in this congregation. That there's going to be change. There are new beginnings taking place. It's stirring inside of them. And your will and your power is being released in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, Father God, we just proclaim new beginnings for this congregation and for everyone in here. We thank you, Lord, that you are moving and you are touching and you are delivering. In Jesus' name, we stand against principalities and powers that would try to bind people up. We loose them in Jesus' name through the blood of Jesus that sets the captives free. Thank you, Lord. There will be clear minds. There will be freedom in the flesh. There will be opportunity to worship and glorify your name. Today, we just proclaim victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hello, this is Pastor Rob. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for this podcast is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, Romans 10:9 makes it extremely simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at www.bethel.org. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. I hope you have a blessed day.